everybody, and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, number 33. This week, I have something a little different for you guys. I got into a discussion with my friend Paul Morrissey. He's a comedian, first and foremost, but he's also... No, that's second. First and foremost, he's a player on the Comedians League basketball team that I'm on called Sean Kemp's Kids. We call ourselves that because more than half of us are from the Seattle area. And because Sean Kemp has played there for a lot of his career in Seattle, and because he has so many illegitimate kids, that we thought it would be a funny name for a team. And we were right. So he came over to talk about his sports journalism career. He used to be on the news. He used to do the sports. It's kind of a cool job to have. But we got into this long discussion, and at the first like hour of it was just talking about his career, I guess, as a college basketball player. So what I did is I split these podcasts up. The first episode is just going to be about his college basketball days. We just talked about that for 45 minutes, and then I'm going to have another episode, call it episode 34, which will just be about the sports journalism stuff. And then we got into another 2 hour long discussion about moving to New York and doing stand-up comedy in general, and also about Catholicism. We got into not really an argument about Catholicism, but I just went off on a rant because I hate it. So I'm just going to do this. I'm going to have this episode is number 33, I guess, and the next episode I'm going to release on Wednesday as number 34, and then I'm just going to have bonus content on Friday because we talked for a long, long time. So in terms of announcements, here's what I got to say. Please check out RETheGreat.com for all the extra information and stuff, and stuff about where I'm touring and things. Also, extra details. I'm sure I'll have some clips of Morrissey and I on there, or of Morrissey doing stand-up. Also, my storyteller show is Wednesday, December 3rd. No, Wednesday, December 7th. That's what it is. So please come out. It's my favorite show in Los Angeles to do. I keep it $5 because it's really experimental, and all these comics are doing stories for the first time ever, and they're hilarious, but I don't want to put any pressure on them to have to do tried and true material. So this one is called Deflowered. The series is called This Is Not Happening, and this one's called Deflowered. It's all stories about how we lost our virginity. I'm doing it. I host all of them. John Reap from Last Comic Standing, the winner of Last Comic Standing, I think season 3. He's doing it. Steve Renazzisi from The League on FX will be there doing it. Kevin Christie, who makes all those rad posters for the shows, he's going to be there. And Mark Maron is doing it from the WTF pod. I hate giving credits, but you know what I mean. There's going to be a bunch of great comics there. And I'm trying to get a girl. I asked Christina Pazitsky, but she's out of town. And then Sarah Silverman didn't seem interested when I asked her. But either there'll be a girl or another guy. Either way, it's going to be amazing. So please come. Tell your friends in L.A. December 7th. It's awesome. And that's it. That's all. That's everything. I'm having a UFC Hunt for the Edible on December 3rd. My friend Mayhem Miller is making his return to the UFC. So I am having a Hunt for the Edible. If you want details or information on that, follow me on Twitter. That's pretty much the only place I'm going to advertise it because it's illegal what I'm doing. My Twitter name is Ari Shaffir, at A-R-I-S-H-A-F-F-I-R. I'm giving away pot edibles at a UFC and hiding them as a scavenger hunt. It's some of the most fun you could ever have. But that's it, everybody. So that's all the announcements. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 33. We're playing basketball.
Here we are.
Paul Morrissey.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for joining me. I'm going to talk to you today about being a journalist or whatever you were. What the fuck were you?
I had a lot of jobs. I don't know what should I settle on.
I guess the sports journalism shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people asked how I got into
it. I didn't know you
it.
Did that.
Yeah.
I should say this. First of all, Paul Morrissey is the point guard or the shooting guard for the Sean Kemp's kids in the Comedy League, Basketball League.
Yeah.
Are you shooting guard or
point guard?
I guess point. What is Brandon then? He's 4 foot
he's
one.
He's a shooting guard.
He's the shooting
that
guard?
That guy is a shooter. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'll pass and let him shoot. Yeah, I guess basically how I got into it was, I didn't want to be a news reporter, obviously. I wanted to be a sports guy. This was, you know, we're about the same age range. Uh-huh. So it was like ESPN was just getting really big at that point.
When was this, right out of college?
I guess this is like high school, college age. You're watching Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann and those guys in ESPN. And it's like, oh,
my
man.
My parents never had cable.
Oh, really?
So I always, yeah. So, like, all that, when ESPN got humongous, I never really, like really knew about those guys. Like, Chris Burr, I just knew about them, but I wasn't, like, right. wasn't familiar. So, Dan Patrick, all those people, I'm, like, sort of, like, they're not huge celebrities in my mind. I know they are.
Well, it was one of those things where I was, like, I always knew, I mean, my first thing, I really wanted to be like an NBA basketball player. Like, my dad was a high school coach, and I just lived in.
Your dad was a high school basketball coach?
Yeah, and then later he was a college coach. He was my college coach for a year.
Where'd you play?
I played at four different schools.
Really? Did you get thrown out for bad behavior?
It's very
transferred to try to get more PT?
Yeah. No, no. I was a starting point guard for four different schools.
Really?
I started 120 games or something strange.
What division?
I was junior college, Division III. Binghamton was transitioning Division I when I started for them.
So was that Division I or still no?
They just played a mixed schedule, so we were still not an official Division
I school.
One school, no.
You played against a bunch of Division I schools.
A couple, yeah.
Okay.
We were in like the SUNYAC conference, so you play against. It was like around the same time, like Albany and Buffalo and all those schools that are Division I now.
I love how all the cities and even roads and stuff in those areas and all the schools up in those areas are just named after Indians that we wiped out. Like, any war, Buffalo, I know that whatever it is, right. Like, these all come from India. SUNY, Uniata, what is it?
Uniata, yeah.
Yeah,
I went to school. If you want me to list, I was thinking about doing, like, a guide of New York State colleges because I went to so many.
You are.
I went to Hartwick College. I was starting point guard for Hartwick as a freshman.
Yeah.
I was starting.
I thought you played for SUNY Binghamton as a freshman.
Well, no, no, not as a freshman.
Oh, okay.
Freshman year is Hartwick College.
Okay.
And they were Division I soccer. I saw Alexi Lalas play against Hartwick.
That's probably one of the biggest names you can drop in the soccer
and
world.
And a guy that was in my dorm was the fullback on the World Cup team, Mike Burns, the guy's name is.
Yeah.
And on like two or three World Cups. So soccer was a big soccer school. And so my sophomore year, my dad ends up coaching Broome Junior College in Binghamton.
Broome?
Broome, yeah.
Okay.
So I ended up transferring.
So you could play for your father?
Yeah.
Did that get as much press as Ken Griffey playing with his dad? Or
I think a little less.
Okay.
But the thing was, basically, I was like 140 pounds coming out of high school, yeah. But I was all state in New York. Like, I averaged like 22 points a game.
140 pounds. That's scrawny.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're short. How tall are you?
5'8.5", 5'9". So yeah, way too small and just very white looking.
Yeah, you don't look like you can play anything.
Even if I was like ripped, I wouldn't look like I would be like a great player.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it was very, you know, it was a thing. Like, when, you know, all my black friends or whatever, we would go to the park and we would hustle. They would put me on the team 2-on-2, and they would bet on our team and stuff.
Really?
Like, we used to do that all the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was my favorite movie for like 4 years.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they call me Billy Hoyle.
Really?
Or Snow. They call me Bird. Or yeah, there was like a 4 or 5 year period. That's all I did is play basketball. Like, all
wow.
Just out in the parks.
All the time.
Or go.
Would black people get mad at you if you like stole from them, like a pass from them, or
well,
like
just
a
in
shot.
Any in general, like, because if you're a big guy and you're scoring tons of points, but if you're a smaller guy, especially if you're younger, like I was playing against a lot of older guys, they would just start like just ripping. So you have it's a very tough thing.
Yeah.
You got to have guys.
When I was at my best, I played at Sligo Creek Park in Maryland, and it was just like that's where you could play with black people. It wasn't like dangerous or anything, but to like upper middle class Jews, it was like you went to the park, to play ball. But yeah, every time I block somebody's shot, they're like, "That's I know it's your ball anyway, but it's a foul. I'm going to call a foul."
Yeah,
even if it's totally clean, everybody knows it. They won't. They would never accept a short, not short, but like scrawny Jewish kid.
Yeah, yeah. And it is like it's street cred. Like you have until I played there for months and months. You know, like a lot of the guys, especially my, you know, there's a guy, King Rice, that was a starting point guard for North Carolina. He was from Binghamton. So that was the park I was playing in against, like,
that's why I knew
guys
him.
Like that.
What year did he play? Did he play on their championship team when they won against?
Yeah, it was like him and Rick Fox and all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a good team.
It was like 92 or 94, 93?
A little earlier than that even, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, like he was there like 88 to 92, maybe, something
okay.
like that.
Okay, that was my high school. I was a humongous Tar Heels fan in high school.
And he looked like that when he was a freshman in high school.
Looked like what?
He was a 6 foot, like he was all state football, baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
Like he could have played any sport if he wanted to. That King Rice was incredible.
What a great name too.
Yeah, really.
I think his name is King David Rice. That was his full name.
Really?
Every once in a while black people get it right.
But he was
like way to think outside the box.
I think his dad was like a white like cop and his mom
really?
Was black or so. Yeah, it was like some strange mixture.
And he just got all the black?
He was light-skinned.
What did he look like?
He's pretty light-skinned, I think.
All right, I believe
you.
I don't need to look him up. I want to look him up now just to remember what he's like. That's so long ago. I haven't heard that name in so fucking long.
Yeah, yeah. So those were the – and I remember like there was one game where I scored on him once and people my age knew I was pretty good, but he was just coming back for the summer. So I remember, like, I tried to cross him over and then go by him, and he just, like, grabbed me.
He just grabbed you?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, this won't be happening right now.
He was just, this is college defense right here.
King Wright, all right, images. That's,
oh, he must
is that
be.
Him?
I think he's a coach at Vanderbilt, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, good for King Rice.
Maybe. Oh, wait, this says
Mama. On the pictures, it shows him getting dunked on. But
oh, that's J.R. Reed.
Yeah, but why was he being... Oh, he was just tagged on it. J.R. Reed was a monster at UNC.
Is that Scottie Pippen?
A monster.
Is he dunking on Pippen?
Is that the Sports Illustrated cover? Who is it on?
I don't even know. Scottie Pippen played in like some crazy little school.
Yeah, some nothing. No, that's not Scottie Pippen. That's not Scottie
There's
Pippen.
There's another guy almost as ugly as Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, with the flat face. The nose takes up most of the face. Just flat and wide.
Oh, okay, so, and I worked at a YMCA, the JCC, I played...
Really?
I played basketball for a...
I got hustled once by a kid that looks like you, just some kid. I was 17, he was probably like 12. He's like, let's play horse for $5. I was like, I'll crush you, okay. And then he won. I was like, all right, I'll get my money from a car. He's like, you're not going to leave, are you? I'm like, no, I'm not going to leave. And then I was like, oh, I could leave? And then I was like, I just left. I feel bad about it.
It was, but it was... It was a good thing. Like I was out until like 3 a.m. We would play like the JCC. All the religious kids, they would keep the gyms open because they wanted them to stay out of trouble.
Oh, really?
So we would play. I played on a Nazarene church team. Like they just hustled me on and pretended I went to their church. I played at this. There's a college called Practical Bible where we just play from like midnight to 2 a.m.
Really?
And, yeah.
Would somebody give you sermons while you played?
No, they wouldn't. They would just keep the gym open because, you know, kids were out doing drugs and drinking, and we just wanted to play basketball, so they would just let us play, you know? So,
That's the kind of hustle that Dan showed when he went to the lion's den that one time. No, who went to the lion? Oh, fuck it. Who
the lion's den.
Who went to the lion cage and freed somebody? I don't know who it was. I don't remember. Daniel.
Is that a
it was
Bible
Daniel.
Thing?
Yeah, Daniel. That
okay.
was his name. It wasn't Dan.
I didn't read it.
Okay.
I'm Catholic. I don't have to, right?
No, you don't have to. The Original Testament, you can ignore that completely.
And then I worked summer camp. I worked Rutgers, Seton Hall. So I would just, like, referee games and then coach the kids and then play basketball with, like...
Oh, you'd referee? That's why you get
NBA.
So mad at the refs in our rec league. That's why you get so angry at them.
Well, that's because also, you
Nobody
know,
gets as angry as you do.
I didn't mean it. Well, I don't know.
You're like, do you even understand the rules? Do you even know what you're doing, you stupid idiot?
You guys pulled me back into that. I never wanted to get involved with referees again.
You won the MVP last year, didn't you?
I think Willie gets more angry than me.
Willie gets angry, but like in weird ways that nobody's like doesn't make any sense. Like he'll like shove somebody down, the ref will call a foul, and he'll be like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, Willie, no one.
It's coming
even
from somewhere else.
Yeah, it's like, what are you mad about right now? I don't get it.
So, I just loved basketball, and that was the only thing that really kept me interested in school at all. And,
really?
And so...
You a fuck-up?
So I played junior college for my dad, and we went to the national championship. We finished, like, fourth or fifth in the nation for
really?
Junior college. And then
wow.
the big thing
what
was...
What school was that?
Broome Junior College.
Broome Junior College.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
how
so,
hard was it to get in there if you weren't a student athlete?
You take a left at the parking lot.
Okay, that's a tough admission process.
And so then Binghamton University was going Division One, and so they had this coach who was like 75 years old, and he was the all-time winningest coach. He was like 5 wins ahead of Dean Smith, and Dean Smith was still active.
Wow, who was this?
Dick Baldwin's the guy's name. So he
coached Hofstra. Wasn't some great coach of Hofstra?
Hofstra, I'm not sure.
Didn't somebody like great end up there?
I don't know.
Bradenstein,
older guy.
Oh yeah,
I remember Lou Carnesecca. That was St. John's. Yeah. He was like the oldest guy that.
And those other guys just wound up other places, like old wrestlers. Like eventually they find another job, some shitty school or high school. They're like, you saw.
Well, that guy when because in Maryland that was
Butch
like,
Van Bredekoff. That was his name.
Oh right. Yeah,
I think he ended up in
Knicks.
Hofstra. He used to coach the Knicks. That's where he came from.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I either met him once when I went to interview with Aaron Hofstra, or I told everybody that I met him.
And
but either way,
Jan,
the memory's in my head.
His son was like
Jan Van Bredekoff. Yeah. Wow. All right, so go on. Old fucking memories coming back.
Yeah, I got a crazy like basketball. That's the only thing I'm nerdier than about comedy is basketball, like old Granville Waiters or those kind of...
what are Granville Waiters?
Mike Jaminski. No, they're all, just all like random... role-playing NBA players from the
80s.
So then I end up, I end up being like the big recruit to Binghamton University, and they're going Division One. It's like a big deal, and
you were their
coach.
Big recruit. Like we got this guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a hometown kid, so all these people will come, and we've got this legendary coach. And
wow. And is that the process of getting into becoming a Division One thing? You have to like sell Division One on your
eligibility? I guess, and they were like building a new arena and all this kind of stuff. So then I convinced a couple of my friends to transfer there from other places too.
Oh, really?
And so we're getting like a bunch of local
this is the
like
original Miami Heat.
Yeah, not quite
of semi Division One.
And we all lived in an
schools.
Apartment too, which is a whole other story. But so then. It turns into a complete nightmare. Like, I break my ankle right before the season starts.
Oh, no.
But their trainer tells me, no, it's just sprained.
Really?
And so, like, I literally...
Because
like,
they needed you to play.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. It turned out like, this guy didn't even have, like, wasn't even qualified to do this. I ended up going to, like, the doctors later, and he's like, yeah, your ankle's broken.
Shouldn't be running on it.
Well, I just played through it because there's nothing you can do. It was like... The John Stockton thing was like a stress fracture, so you just tape it up as much as you can, ice it for an hour before.
But like
hour
playing
afterwards.
Doesn't make it worse.
It probably wasn't good for it, but.
But is it? I know there's some diseases where like there's nothing to do for this.
Yeah, it's
like a pulled ear muscle. They're
right,
like,
right.
Just keep going about your day, and it'll get better
still,
when it's better.
My ankle in size about twice the size as the other one, but I started every game for them.
Yeah,
didn't miss a game. I even turned my ankle in a game. And like hit a shot, like a big shot at the buzzer. But the season itself was a nightmare. The coach was a nightmare. He was so senile. He didn't remember anybody's name.
He didn't remember the names of the guys on his team?
It was like everything that could go wrong did. And it was just ridiculous. And
That was your junior year.
That was my junior year, but it was my... Because I had transferred. So this is basically like... I transferred all those credits, so I actually graduated. I did like a summer internship at the, and this is how the TV thing started. The guys who covered our games, this guy who's a sports anchor, I decided to do an internship with those guys just because I thought it would be cool, you know. Uh-huh. So I was just like, you know, did an internship with those guys, and that was my the credits that helped me graduate from Binghamton. And so at the end of the season, we were like a 500 team, and I was the only starter coming back. And the coach is like, I think you're a little too short to play here.
What?
And I was
didn't
like,
know you started every game? Did he not realize that?
Well, that's what I said. He's like, you're a little too short to play here. We're probably going to try to recruit a bigger, taller guy. And I was just like, what the fuck?
No,
you know, like I was literally shocked, and I'm looking at the assistant coaches who are just going along with this crazy person, you know, because they don't want to make waves.
Who was this coach?
Which is what makes me understand that whole Penn State thing because
oh, nobody
that was the same thing. This was a legendary 75-year-old guy who's out of his fucking mind.
But they were like, you just don't cross him.
And nobody wants to, like, say how crazy he is.
That's how Mitzi was, too, huh?
Well, that's what
and
I
that
hear.
That guy, Lucian Bold. And...
That's what, well, what's the actual state of that now? Like, she's still...
She doesn't come in anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, for a while, it was like, when I was driving her to and from the store, comedy store, mm-hmm. she's the owner of the comedy store, and the only owner they've ever had. When I was driving, it's like, she would be like... A little nutsy.
And like a mythical figure.
Basically. Yeah, but she's like, yeah. she's like, she's crotchety old lady. And it right. wasn't like she was like actually senile mm-hmm. yet or anything, or she's still not. But like, it was just like, you're a mad woman right now. Like, what are you talking, you're firing some guy because there's a light bulb out in the front hallway? He has nothing to do with that. You're just,
right.
and everyone's like, don't cross her. It'll be easier if we just fire this guy. And no one would cross them. I get that now. I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Now I get Joe Paterno.
And
all those people who were like, just don't.
Yeah, everyone's
how?
Everyone's job's relying on this guy.
He's the king. Like,
and
he'll take care. He'll do what's.
If he fucks over a couple people, then what's the big deal? But
yeah.
then when it turns out to be a huge problem, cause it,
yeah.
so then this is what happened, and this is I still can't believe I did this, but so they're telling me all this stuff, and for some reason, like, you know, maybe you start doubting yourself at that point, but at that point, I was just like.
That's weird. Once it gets in your head, you're like, maybe I'm not.
I was like,
qualified.
I'm a starting point guy. I only got 1 year left, and I want to have fun. You know what I mean? Like, it was obviously at that point, like, I wasn't going to play in the NBA. So I was like, I want to have, like, a really good season. You know, like, we had just been to the junior college national championship the year before. And,
yeah,
like,
you want to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But you did that with the guy who couldn't remember anybody's name?
No, that was my dad. But the Binghamton year.
Oh, that's
guy.
Right. Okay.
So basically, I'm already graduated. I'll just be taking classes, and I have a year of basketball. It's the only reason I'm coming back to school.
It's to play ball.
Yeah. So then, during that summer,
on a free ride.
Well, no, it's Division III. So I got some, you know, they
not
give you loans and stuff like that, and you have a fake job. I had some job in a fitness center that,
and that'd be enough to pay for school to keep
yeah,
you in to play basketball.
Yeah, it was a state school, so it was only like.
In state,
nothing.
The state school, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
how
Maryland was. Like,
I had a
it's
job.
A few grand. Get a job and you're fine.
Well, you get you get paid per diem, like, you know, you get paid per week when, like, before and during Christmas break. So you get, like,
yeah.
$300 a week or something.
I remember those jobs, too. They'd be like, we'll give you $200, and, or, like, you'll get $5 an hour, but we'll also put another $5 an hour towards your tuition. I was
right,
always
right.
one of those jobs. Like,
all
right, well,
yeah,
that's awesome.
It was just all kinds of funny business that I didn't really.
Yeah, you got no reason to be in college.
But I got paid for a job that I didn't do.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, no, I did my jobs. Really? You didn't? It was just
well,
like,
it was like a fitness center, and there's five people on a shift, so two of them would show up and cover for everybody else or however it would work. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to get in trouble. So I showed up, as far as I know.
I like that.
So then, I play in the summer league with this guy who just had gotten this Cortland State job, which is where my dad played. It's like a half hour from Binghamton, and it's in the same conference.
Okay.
SUNY Cortland. And it's a big party. That's where Tripoli is from, Cortland.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a big, like, party school and fun. A bunch of my friends went
it's
there.
It's a party Division III school?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool. I guess I should have those, too. Why not? Booze is universal.
And it's like, I'm trying to think who else went there. Kevin James went there. Like,
oh, really?
It's like a PE school. Like, and so.
What was the major called for all the athletes that they took?
It was communications?
No, it wasn't communications, but it was something to do with physicality and like.
Oh. Physical therapy, or that's hard.
Those. No, it wasn't physical therapy. It was one of those like that, but it was like kinesiology. That's what it was.
Oh, that sounds hard.
It sounds hard, but
yeah.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
That was a study of movement or something like that, and it was like all the athletes would do that at communications. It was just like learn what muscles you have,
right?
And you're good.
Huh? No, I got my degree from Binghamton is in literature and rhetoric.
Rhetoric?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds impressive. I don't know what rhetoric
major.
Is yet. And then,
debate.
So then I go to, this guy, he's like 35 or 36 at the time, gets the head coaching job at Cortland State and is, you know, doesn't have any players.
Yeah.
And so I end up like,
and so you knew him. So he was like,
I ended up playing against him. This guy was still a pretty good player. And he's actually one of the guys who played on like that Washington Generals team that plays against the Globetrotters. Like, loses to the Globetrotters every
he's on
game.
That team?
He played for a couple of seasons.
What is the deal? You got an invite to that?
Yeah, after college, that was like.
All right, well,
my
let's get to
option.
That.
Yeah.
Let's get to that one later. But let's get.
So then I end up. I meet with the people at Cortland. They literally, and I'm still indebted to these people. They got me into school in like 4 days.
Yeah, it's really late too.
Yeah, yeah.
By that time,
in August, they get me into school. Like the athletic director, like the president. Like, it's still, those people are great people, and I love the school. And it was, like, one of the best things that happened to me. So, two of my best friends.
What was his name?
The coach or the...
Yeah, the coach. Yeah, the guy that got
coach
you in.
Tom Spanbauer is still the coach now.
Oh, wow. That's
and,
cool.
It's so,
like 20 years later.
Yeah. Well, he was only 30. He was
really?
Younger than
He's
me
one of those
when he
lifer
got the
guys?
Job.
Yeah. I love stories like that.
And so he... So I ended up transferring there, like, literally. And my two best friends at the time were going to school there, and they still didn't believe me. I'm like, no, I'm transferring here, because they used to hang out with me in Binghamton. They're like, no way. And
why? Is like, some tiny, shitty school?
No, but it's just they really wanted me to play basketball there.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, I can finish a communications degree in like two semesters or something.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and I just want to play basketball for 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
And I was a starting point guard for all these colleges, so... The coach is like, all right.
He's got
his
resume.
Let's do it. And so
he's 7 years older than
everybody
at this
point.
So I
end up transferring there, and then we get to play Binghamton.
And there's no rules that you have to sit for a year.
No, as long as you're the same. No, like, yeah, as long as you're the same level, you don't have to sit out.
Okay.
So we end up playing Binghamton twice.
Your old school?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
So
was that on the schedule?
Yeah, yeah. And so
you're in the conference.
That was even in, like, they even did that, like, on one of the TV stations, like, a day to mark down, you know, Morrissey.
Paul Morrissey makes his return on the opposing bench this time.
And it was so, I got to tell you, it's, like, one of the biggest, because it's, like, those are the things that give you confidence. Like, man, these guys really counting me out. And
yeah, and you want
to be like
to
be like to prove them all, like, I'm the starting point guard for these guys, and they're still, like, you're too short and too slow. It's just, like, how many times you gotta prove somebody wrong to do it? So then we play them the first time.
They told you that though after they saw you play.
Yeah, that's the thing that's crazy. That's why I'm never surprised with anything in show business. You can have the greatest show in the world and still someone will be like, he's not our cup of tea or something. Yeah. You just gotta play for the people, play the clubs that wanna have you there, basically.
My thing is always like, it's an opinion, and you're totally allowed to have an opinion.
Right.
But you don't like my kind of thing. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some people who love prop comedy, and that's the thing they love.
Right.
That's allowed. But then you're probably not going to like what I do then.
Yeah.
That's usually really clean.
And you can't. There's no way of convincing those people.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know?
I always compare it to this. If I told a chef, like a fine chef, and he made this awesome like dish for me of like, what, I don't know, let's say it was trout, and it's beautiful, and I'd be like, oh, I don't like fish.
Right.
And he'd be like, yeah, what? You're saying I'm not a good chef? I'm like, I'm sure you're a great chef. I just don't like fish.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm never going to enjoy it, no matter what.
Right, right. That's why I'm like with wine.
Like, all right,
I'm not a wine
yeah.
person, but my buddy's like a sommelier or whatever, and he's just like, no, I have the greatest thing. And it's
sommelier
like, it's
going to
be
job.
Completely wasted on me.
Yeah.
Like, you're just wasting hundreds of dollars. And everyone,
I'm not. It's all going to taste like wine to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to taste like church or something.
And I'm not. I'm sure your wine is better. I just would have no. It's going to taste like church. Exactly.
Not that you would know that.
I went once.
Okay.
I did it once in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Natasha took me
just for the wine.
It was that gigantic church that JFK got married in.
Mm-hmm. One of the old Catholic scary ones.
And then I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll get the wine and the cracker. Let me see what this shit's all about. And they were handing it. Some people were probably taking the cracker and they put it on their tongue. Other people were like, take it out of the lady's hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then put it on tongue themselves. I was like, no, no, no. Here's my tongue. You put it on there.
Right, right.
We're doing this the right way.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I lit a couple candles.
That,
yeah, it's
that
actual
cup
wine.
That like, 900 people drink out of. I'm sure that's safe.
Oh, I didn't drink out of that. They poured it in. Oh, you're right. They poured it into little throwaway cups. The little tiny.
Oh, really?
Cups, like the
so they're ahead
syrup
of
cups.
Their time. I guess New York City was.
This is probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, New York City like invented AIDS pretty much. So they take care of like, oh, let's be, give me a little
is that in Wikipedia.
Share your needles outside,
we
but
invented
in here,
AIDS.
Let's not. They pretty much did.
So we ended up playing Binghamton twice. In the first game, I pretty much lit them up, and I think I had like 18 or 20 points, and we beat them. Wow. And then.
And what did you say anything to the coaches after that? To the
well,
coaches?
Here was the thing. So the big newspaper article was, they're like, hey, you're the starting point guard here. Why did you leave? And all I said was. Well, the coach told me I was too short and too slow to play here.
Oh, that's great.
So that ends up being like the huge story.
Yeah, it
should
be.
So they ask him, they're like, no, I thought he wanted to leave because of academics. And then
they go back to you like, no, I actually already graduated. So
they didn't
go
back, but then it was already slowly like there's a bunch of weird stuff that was coming out that this guy was kind of, you know, I don't even want to go into.
If you tell me he touched kids right now,
I'm going to
lose my mind. I'm going to be like, this is the greatest story ever. Yeah.
I'll tell you off, but it was basically like his dealing.
Just tell me. Who cares? No, the guy's already dead by now, probably.
I don't think so. He's still there.
Really?
No, he's still around somewhere.
Put his name out.
I think the gym is Dick Baldwin.
I think
the gym is still named after
really?
Him.
Who cares? That's what he told you. Fucking put it out.
Yeah, so that was it. So then all this other stuff came out. Like, he was just treating other players really bad, and it was just miserable. So then he ended up... So, well, we play him a second time that season.
Yeah.
So, and we play him at Portland. Yeah.
Did he really? I'm just guessing because he'd be like, that fucking kid. Because he must have caught heat from what you said.
And I even said that.
And so he's like, I don't care what happens. I don't care. We'll lose. That kid is not scoring.
Yeah. The first time I was trying to be good. Although some of my friends are like, because I was like pretty notorious trash talker, like just funny. Uh-huh. So they're like.
You're doing the league sometimes where somebody will like.
Not much.
Once in a while, someone will get you on a crossover. Or someone will just drive by you, one of those things, and he'll like say something, and then you'll be like, I'm scoring this time against you.
Yeah,
like,
I'll turn around once in a while, but these like people who played with me anywhere would be like, I can't believe you're so quiet now. Like if they look at me now, they'd be like, because there's like, you know, I'd there'd be a kid that was like,
but you have an ego too. That's what
it'd
be
like. I'm pissing all over your kid. Like I would talk to their parents and stuff. It was really bad. Yeah.
Wow.
And so, So the first game, I think I behaved pretty well, but then the second game was at Cortland, and so that was my crowd.
And they boxed you.
So he plays box and one on me, and then
I want to explain what box and one is, but people know. Usually, if it's 5-on-5, it is 5-on-5. You can play a zone, or you can play everyone takes a man. A zone is everyone just takes a position, and you guard your area. And a man-to-man is you guard each man. A box and one is... You have an area, and then one guy stays on one guy.
Just on one, like, even if I'm out in the lobby, he's, like, on me.
So, and like, I would guard, well, it wouldn't be someone like me, but somebody fast would guard Morrissey.
And, just,
and he
like,
also has to
face,
he has to compete with me and the zone that's there for anybody that goes
so
to
So everybody
area.
Else is, like, wide open to shoot whenever they want, but just as long as I don't score.
Yeah, it opens things up for everybody else.
And so, and even at that, like, I was a leading scorer on
the team.
Shoot
the Wilt Chamberlain and get 50 assists.
But I was like, I think I was averaging like 16 or 17 a game
assists?
My senior year. No, just points.
Oh, points, okay.
And
I was like, whoa.
And so I had two other great shooters on my team, so they lit them up. And then I still had 14.
Yeah.
But that was the game where I went over to the bench. I never really said anything to him. I was like,
14 out of what, 60, 70? What did you guys score usually?
Oh, yeah. We had pretty high scoring,
too. Oh, really?
And so then, so I'm like, I'm not even good enough to be on your fucking team, and you're playing a box and one on me. And I said it in front of all the players, all the people that were from that school, like right to him.
During the game?
And he said nothing.
What point was this?
This is like right when the game started.
You see the box and one, and you're oh, really, motherfucker?
Yeah, I think it was right, like I'm standing away
from
everybody.
Goddamn Dick Baldwin, motherfucker.
And it was so great. And then he got fired at the end of the season, or left, or pushed out, or whatever story they want to say. But it was like...
It's one of those things where I'm sure the president's catch a little flack for that, too. Like, what are you doing, man?
Well...
What are you doing? Really?
They've had like the worst, like they, when they finally went Division I, they got all these criminals and like they got busted for like, there was guys selling drugs. There was like
on the team
prostitution. There was like all kinds of stuff. Like every coach, president, everybody got fired like in the last 2 years, like they're on probation now. So it's like, it's not even, and you know who the head coach is now? It's Mark Maron. Or not Mark Maron.
What? That'd be awesome. I didn't even know he did that.
Mark
he never, barely ever talks
he knows
about
anything
it.
About basketball. Mark Macon.
Wait,
remember
hold
him
on.
From Temple? He was like that big star.
Oh, yeah. He was a black guy, right?
Probably.
He was one of the last guys under the owl, whatever his name is.
Oh yeah, John Chaney. Yeah,
he was one of his last guys, right?
Yeah, he was like their star.
He was great.
Yeah,
he lit up anybody.
And he came out like in after his sophomore year, he was like the first guy to come out
to do that.
But I still haven't met. Like,
never really made it as a pro, huh?
I have a decent relationship with like the people from the school, but the Cortland basketball people are still like my guys. Like I'll work their camp and
oh really?
Yeah. It was like the funnest time. We had a great team. We I had a great year.
And also you played for four different schools, so it's not like you would have like 3 years at one place and then you transfer.
And that was like way before anybody. Like now it's pretty normal for people to transfer and stuff. But back then, like, you just stayed at the same school for 4 years.
Because, like, why not? Get your degree, play your basketball, and get out of here.
Well, it was also that thing, like, everything was based on seniority, kind of. Because remember, like, they used to not even let freshmen play, like, on the team in college. Like, when Bill Walton
they had
UCLA, like, you just...
The junior basketball team.
Carolina, well, you would just be able to practice, but you couldn't play in the game.
You couldn't play at all?
No.
Wow.
And so that's why, like, a lot of those guys set those records in, like, 3 years, you know?
Yeah,
Kareem and all those guys. So it's like, so when I first started, like, even at that Hartwick College, it was like, freshmen don't start, freshmen don't play. Like, you got to pay your dues. Just like in comedy, you know, they're like, oh, you haven't been doing this long
enough.
That's
how it is in college football. They're like, you don't play until you're a junior.
Right.
You don't
start. It's just like,
rarely.
Well, why the fuck not? Like, if you're good enough, you should just play. So I just kind of, that was my attitude at that point. It was like, I'll take care of the schoolwork, and I'll just go where I can play. Like, that was the Binghamton thing that I'm not going to...
If that's what you really like doing, if that's your focus, like, then it's like, who cares?
I'm not going to convince this old fucking guy that I can play. Like, I'm just going to go somewhere where somebody knows, so...
Wow. How did it feel when we have to throw it back in his face like that?
It was awesome. It's still, like, one of the, you know, it's like, what is it, a seminal moment, or, like, just, like, a turning point. Uh-huh. It's like... You're college kids, you don't have so much confidence, really.
Yeah, and somebody shoots your confidence down like that.
Yeah, and it's just like, man, maybe they're right, and then you just prove everybody wrong. It's like, all right, we'll kind of set you up for the rest of the stuff. So that's what I ended up just staying at Cortland. I was a grad assistant coach for a year, so I was like a legitimate like coach and recruited players and all that kind of stuff and did practice every day, but it was just kind of a... I don't know. I was just I'd been in upstate New York for
so long.
Yeah. And so one of my friends was moving to Phoenix, and me and my other friend just decided to like go out there for like a couple months. And I had like a lead, like I had a internship.
This is right after?
After the year of coaching. Like I finished the year playing.
Okay.
And had like I worked the summer, and then I decided to just coach for a year.
Where'd you coach?
Just at Cortland.
Okay.
Yeah, at the same school.
They
just stayed there.
Assistant.
Yeah. Grad assistant. And so that was fun.
Yeah, why not hire you?
Well, and that was the thing, is like at that point my only two options, I had a guy that played for, he was my JV high school coach, had played in Ireland like professionally.
Yeah.
Wow. So those were the two options I could have played, maybe in Ireland or for the Washington Generals, which is the team that gets beat by the Globetrotters every game, which
That's
looking back on my comedy career would have been fucking awesome to do for like a month.
Oh, yeah, just for a little, just for the experience.
But at that point, like, and I had friends of mine that did it for a couple years and just had fun with it, but I was like, I can't lose. Like, I can't be a professional
loser. Oh, yeah,
loser. Like, it's got to take its
toll. They finally got their
you.
First win.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they, like, let them win once just to make some interest in the...
There's a buddy of mine that his dad played on the Generals like in the 60s.
Also, you respect the rules too much to play for the Generals. Those those people were constantly double dribbling that weren't called. You can't walk with the ball on your shirt. That's
the
just a travel.
The first guy that does the rubber band.
That's illegal. That is not allowed. And then the rest would institute. I saw it recently. It was on TV, and the rest institute new rules. They're like, okay, if you mess with me, you're going to sit in a timeout corner. And they'd have like, it was like hockey where you have to sit in like a penalty box for like a minute.
Like eating people's popcorn and stuff.
Yeah, and do that. And it was just because you did something to the ref where you're like, hey, look that way. And you pull the coin out of his ear or something. He's like, I told you, get in the box. Because
I would be the guy that was like, all right, I think tonight we can take him, man.
Uh-huh.
Don't listen to anybody.
Don't throw it. Are we going to be men? Yeah, you would convince them all to play about
and
one
then
game.
One of my buddies.
Let me do a movie about that. Just the Washington Generals. Just going, fuck it, guys. We have a good squad right now. Look, we can take them.
Well, that's what this
half
guy...
Half of us are retiring anyway. Let's just do it.
my buddy's dad played for them like in the 60s, and it still wasn't like 100% like, this is kind of a joke. We're still like kind of playing the games a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess one night they're like, all right, if you can take him tonight, take him. And then
really?
He was like, and we choked so bad. We played so horrible. We got beat by 30. I was like, oh, you get that one chance.
And they got dominated.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, all right, thank you, everybody.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody.
That's Paul Morrissey. Okay.
And that's Ari.
Okay,
I dream I groove like Mike. If I could be like Mike.
All right, that's it. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, number 33. In the books. I still don't know what I'm going to call it. Something about basketball. So that's it, everybody. Go to AriTheGreat.com for extra details on this. I'll try to put some clips of Morrissey's. And then check back here on iTunes or on my website. On Wednesday, I'll have the next episode up with Morrissey, all about his sports journalism career. And then on Friday, I'll have some extra features. It's like a two-hour-long discussion about us and going to New York, doing comedy in New York, and about Catholicism. And I shit all over him for being Catholic. And that's it. Please subscribe to these, and please tell your friends. If you enjoy it, tell your friends. Let them know, you know, what's out there. I could use some extra listeners. All right, everybody. Have a good day. I'll see you Wednesday.
Sometimes I feel this dream is real. The shots I make, nobody else will take.
Oh, no. I seem to soar. Can hear the